From the front line.
It's not going to work, man.
From the tailgate. Representing KTYR and its stakeholders, we are the Forum for the Fans, the Bleed Blue Show. Flying solo, here's your host, Steve.
Yeah, we are the Forum for the Fans, the Bleed Blue Show. This is the Ranked Podcast Transformation episode. Episode can be found on iTunes, Podcast Republic, TuneIn, and your Stitcher as podcast tab on BleedBlueShow.com. Talking a little bit of Rangers hockey. A lot of the stuff has slowed down quite drastically here on the Bleed Blue Show. Quick plugs for the rest of the shows, and we'll get into some Rangers hockey before we get off. And maybe a little bit of recap as well. But Yankees episode of Dugout Podcast. Shout outs to the stakeholder Chandler joining us on the Yankees podcast, the Dugout Live, looking versus the Twins. The Yankees lost that game, and we talked about it live during the game, the pitching, the moves at first base, what they were going to do. Episode, iTunes podcast, Republic Twin, and Yester Traps. Knickerbocker Avenue Fan Forum, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, talking Knicks basketball. I'm going to talk the new GM at 9 o'clock. Definitely tune in. Or listening on the audio archives as well. And last and certainly, but definitely not least, the Big Blue Roundtable, Round the Corner episode this Thursday. They had a fun episode last week, talking Giants with the stakeholders, getting into mid-season form as well with the stakeholders joining the platform, talking Giants football. And be on the lookout for the Knickerbocker Avenue video with myself, Steve from the Bleed Blue Show, talking. We had a little bit of opinion on Beckham Jr., Aaron Judge, NBA Summer League as well. And, of course, a little trailer headed into our next episode. You can find that video on our Instagram and our Facebook page as well. Knickerbocker Avenue, myself talking Aaron Judge and Odell Beckham Jr. Let's talk some Rangers, man. Shout-outs to RP, Ranger Proud, Ranger Proud on Facebook, Twitter, and Ranger.Proud on Instagram. Got the news. No big news, but the entry-level signings with the first-round draft picks. So Elias Anderson gets his three-year deal, and then also Philip Chatel get his three-year deal as well. So I guess what I really take out of this is finding room on the roster for Anderson. Is he going to be able to make the cut? Or get a roster position, maybe someone on a third, fourth bottom line. Now, what's ironic me bringing that up is kind of how we discussed that last year here on the Ring Podcast, where we didn't know the status of Jimmy Feci even before the Rangers locked him into a deal. There was a lot of speculation last year where he's going to certain teams, like it could have been Boston, the Blackhawks. I can't remember all the other teams as well. And the Rangers were nowhere near in the hunt. And once the Rangers had landed VC, we assumed, Ranger Proud and myself, we assumed he was going to be somewhere on that third line, fourth line or something, starting in the opening week in the NHL season. But quite to our surprise, he was on a top line. AV put him right there in the fire. First thing. So I say all that to say, trying to connect the dots with Jimmy Vesey, Elias Anderson, two different players, don't get me wrong. But it's not going to be surprising to get him in the lineup early and often, meaning he probably can make the bottom six, absolutely, with the help that we can need. It seems that Alain Vigneault is optimistic on the kid with the workout day in New York at Tarrytown. And Vigneault seems a little optimistic about him, man. Seems very high on him, the way he can handle the puck. He's got, he's got good hands, like we said on the videos, as far as how he moves in the Swedish league. He did a good job getting to the net whenever he could. Offensively, defensively, he could be a solid two-way player in the defensive zone, offensive zone as well. And if this kid has the ability to make plays, make the nice pass or the open pass, and can foresee plays before they do happen on the ice, he'll definitely compete in training camp for a roster spot. Because, like we said last week or the last couple of weeks on this podcast, the Ring Podcast, that the Rangers are in dire need of some fill-ins. the roster still is not complete. Now, we talked about after all the defensemen that were re-signed or got signed in the offseason, we talked about the Kevin Klein retirement. Weeks before that, Dan Girardi being bought out, and then you have some holes. You have some holes to be, that had to be filled, and you filled it in with a discount deal with Shattenkirk, and got Brendan Smith to come back. So you really are almost locked at defenseman. So the next question is, what are you going to do with the two centermen? Stepan is gone. Who's going to fill in as pretty much a second tier center? Do you really trust Kevin Hayes to fill that role? He's not a first line center. You're not going to have JT Miller run center. So who are you going to run with? Is the kid going to be able to round out the depth? You got the David Diarshans from Edmonton. He's probably more of a bottom line player. Could be a third line player as well. Give you some good minutes, and he's pretty effective on the faceoffs. But this kid probably has a role on the team. You didn't get a high draft pick for nothing when you got the first round draft pick from the Coyotes. He's 18, 19 years old. Throw him into the fire. See who you're going to work with, man. That's the way I look at it when it comes to these guys. Because these players, and then this is pretty much the history for the NHL, these guys have been playing hockey all their lives. Junior league, KHLs, Sweden, Russia, no matter what, all over the world. Olympics for their country, however you want to look at it. These guys are used to playing with grown men, and it's not going to be any different, and it's not going to be any different playing at Madison Square Garden. The Rangers need, they have holes to fill, but is he the right hole to fill? And I think he could be. I definitely do think he could be. I mean, there's something about, and it could go, but, you know, basketball, same thing with basketball, with hockey. You can find ways to get in and fit in if you play with more veterans and experienced guys. And shift by shift, and getting that experience at a young age, your mind gradually gravitates to that stuff. So I don't have an issue with Elias Anderson finding a quality ice time. I mean, he probably could get 12 to 13 minutes a game. That probably would not be bad for him. Shifts here and there, may take a couple of shifts in and out. Alternate shifts with a second line player, third line player. I think there's a role for him on this team. That's the other question. What are the other options for the Rangers if you're going to do that? I know there's veterans available still, and I'll get to that in a second. I don't know if those are going to be the answers. Or you could if you have the cap space, because, you know, Rangers are with money a little tight on the cash, a little tight on the cash flow right now. So they have their chances to go different routes. But why not build within? You have a nice nucleus of young players. You're talking about players under 30, Zibanejad, Kreider, you know, VC Miller, Buchnevich, Hayes. I mean, you got a whole Jesper Fast. You got a lot of youth on this team, man. You definitely have a lot of youth. Now, do you want to go the route of adding a veteran to on as far as forwards and centers? The team could. But what really good is that, dude? Right now, at this point, you're really about winning. Some veterans can bring veteran leadership and a locker room presence, and that's definitely true. But they're not as skilled, they're not as fast, not what they were younger. I mean, do you want to go with an aging center from 37, 38 years old? You're playing 90-second shifts anyway. Do you really want to go that route, or do you want to build from within? Are the Rangers fans ready to, if they go with the youth, expect mistakes? That's the issue. That might be the only thing I could say that could be an argument of to go with the veteran. But if you have a high draft pick at the same time, may not be ready. But all it takes is to let the coaches evaluate him, see how he can fit in with the other personnel that's on the team. We've got Matt Pumple. You've got Jesper Fast, who's still hurt. He's going to be out for about a month. The Grabner, who's a veteran as well. Did he play with a Grabner? Buchnevich, who's you saw his growing pains last year. There's a lot of ways that the Rangers could take this and go about this, man. I definitely do. And also, along with Elias Anderson, with the signing of Philip Chatel as well. He was the second pick in the first round as well. Got his 3-year deal. And they're probably going to groom him, baby him more as well, try to get him acclimated through the minors. But, hey, you never know. If they like what they see, they might bring him up early, get him some ice time to time as well. So I brought up the point with veteran free agents that's available, that's possible centers. I mean, you have older guys in the upper 30s, pretty good place for the majority of their career. Do you go with a guy? First of all, you have to try to afford them. That's number one. You got to see if you could pay these guys if they are willing to take that market value. If the Rangers are ready to bring on that veteran, I don't think they're going to be available. You never know, but they're hanging around. If you go with Mike Ribeiro from the Predators, or you could go with his teammate Mike Fisher. Matt Cullen from the Pittsburgh Penguins champion, you know, won some multiple Stanley Cups. You could, like, have that in the veterans. Or do you go with more poor centers that's still out there? So this is definitely Jeff Gordon, I think, has pushed the right button. Ranger Proud, who has said that immensely on these episodes, has said that. And I think he's taking the easier roads as far as the signings, as far as based off needs. I think he's done a very good job as far as retooling these Rangers. I think my only thing is, you know, we had a little bit of issue with the backup goalie, and I know we kind of got on that a little bit more because I think part of it is we as Rangers fans have been spoiled with quality backup play. It's so good at, like, you have arguments with Ranger fans arguing with each other whether it's Cam Talbot or Antti Raanta to start over Henrik Lundqvist. So, and speaking of Henrik Lundqvist, and shout outs to some of the guys on Instagram on that as far as how many years he's got left. He's still one of the highest placed Rangers on his team, and if he probably have to talk a little bit more about him a little bit later in the offseason, but I'll preface it like this. I think he does have some left in the tank. I don't think he's going to be your mid-2000s, 2010 version of Lundqvist. He is a little bit up there in age, but his issue is when it gets bad, it gets real bad as far as it'll take a snowflake and it'll turn it into a snowball when giving up bad goals. Now, we said that some of that is with defensemen, but hopefully these offensive-minded, dual-skating defensemen, not necessarily goonish guys, but these guys will help be back there on the back checks, creating a lot of offense and try to not commit two-on-one episodes or deflections or limit the deflections for Henrik Lundqvist. And I think if with these quality of guys, is going to make it a lot better. But to go back to the centers, I mean, I think that's more questions as far as how Gordon's going to approach this. I think the kid, they're going to roll with the kid, and I think that's going to be, I think that's going to be a good thing, man. I think he's excited. I like his body language in some of these interviews, the way he expresses himself. I don't think he's going to be, nor he cares as far as the home ice factor or how rabid the New York Ranger fans could be at home at the Garden. I think Vigneault is all aboard, and I think it's really about live competition, and he's going to get to see that a little bit later this summer as well, as far as him making a spot on his team, and I'm really looking forward to that. And it goes back to what I was saying as far as other guys. You know, I'm not going to play JT Miller at center. I don't. RP has said that. I'm with him on that. I'd rather have him on the wing, working the boards, creating things from along the side. Even create if they have to go to the forecheck route. I like him, JT Miller, on that aspect. I'm not necessarily in the middle creating things, but on the outside creating for others. He's more dangerous that way. He's better along the boards as well, JT Miller. And I think that it is the smart move to keep him at four. So it definitely leaves two gaping holes at center. And I don't think I could see Kevin Hayes, although I could be wrong, or a lot of Rangers fans see him as a second-tier center, and I don't think they need two more pieces, I think. I really do. They need two more pieces, or one, probably two centers and a four. Do you get one of the veterans? Can you get them for cheap? The price is going to be hard. There's other teams that got cap space. it's going to be hard to really see that, man. Definitely hard to see how that goes. So, you know, Kevin Hayes, nice player. He has his stretches. He's in and out of the game as far as he could be dominant. Then there's some games he just disappears. Kind of had a little that Derek Stepan in him last year. There was a stretch of road games. I think there was a game in Philly. He was phenomenal. But then later in the year, and then as far as the playoffs, man, it just really trickled down, man. Really died down. Not the same Kevin Hayes that we were accustomed to as well. Other news, along with Kevin Klein's retirement and going to play overseas in Sweden, same thing with Brandon Perry. On his way to play for the Swiss team as well in the Swiss league. So shout out to Brandon Perry. And I thought when he was on the team last year, throughout those preseason games, he was a power play specialist, and he probably not getting the contract that he wanted or the playing time that he wanted. And he's off back to overseas to get some shine, get some burn, man. But a guy who was pretty decent on the power play, an area that we still definitely need to get improved. And only time will tell what the units are going to be like when we see that running with the two defensemen, probably a Nash. I don't know, Zuccarello will definitely be in that first time, probably in the first lineup as well. You could always go with Jimmy Vesey as well on the second lineup as well on the power play. I mean, you have definitely multiple ways you could go do this, man, the Rangers. So, as far as Brandon Perry going on the way to the Swiss team, thank you for the brief time as far as being a Ranger. I want to also look at the line combinations. Like, what makes the sense? We know Alain Vigneault likes to mix and match, shuffle the deck of cards with his lineup pretty much every day. You know, so he could go a whole lot of ways when it comes to his lineup on a day in and day out basis, depending on the matchups, who the teams they play, if they're a faster team, if they're a more physical team. But on average, the way the roster is definitely constructed, you probably have to go Kreider, Zibanejad, Zuccarello, and then run with VC. Because unfortunately for now, you probably have to put Hayes up there until you get another center and push him back to that third line. So VC, Hayes, Nash, Buchnevich, Desjardins, and Grabner, and then Pompo, Anderson, Fast. And on average, I mean, of course it could change. You can get guys in and out of the line. Of course it's going to be different. I think we saw the Z's work a little bit better together, especially when Zibanejad got back from his leg injury. I thought him and Zuccarello had a nice chemistry. What the line I really did love last year when it was really phenomenal was the JT Miller, Grabner, Hayes line. They were really in sync. But I think AV's going to split that up a little bit more based off who they want to be out there available. You could also run them as a number two as well. It could be effective. You got fast guys and gritty guys and a big guy out there on the ice, so you have a little bit of balance, a little bit of everything to run with that. You want somebody on the bottom line to really win faceoffs as well. That's why bringing in Desjardins from Edmonton by way of Montreal all those years to help get back to winning key faceoffs, whether you can't get Zibanejad on the ice. So you try to get that balance as well as winning those 50-50 pucks as well. As far as penalties, the Rangers, last year, they were pretty good against not taking a lot of penalties. They're a very good disciplined hockey team, not taking stupid, lazy penalties. And the kill was up and down, but it got better as it could later on in the year. In some spots in the playoffs, it was all right. But we're going to see, because Gordon is definitely not done. He's done a good job starting with the defenseman, as well as piecing together the draft picks as far as what they could get back from the Coyotes, the Antti Raanta, Derek Stepan, and Derek Stepan deal as well, getting that extra pick. So it's more than stated, man. More say the least, man, with the Rangers. And other news with the NHL, I had to go back. We talked a little bit of Tyler Johnson's contract, getting the extension. And no surprise with Connor McDavid with the Oilers. I know this past week, Jean-Gabriel Pargeau from the Ottawa Senators gets an extension. He played very well in the playoffs. He played well in the Boston series last year. A little bit had his good games with versus the Blue Shirts as well. But he's definitely got his 3-year extension. Very good player, good solid force for the Senators, man. Brian Campbell for the Chicago Blackhawks, I think he's going to be working in the front office. He's now retired. Brian Campbell retired in the NHL. But the teams, I thought, one team I thought had a good offseason was the Blue Jays, the Maple Leafs. The Maple Leafs, I thought, Landon Marleau as well, along with playing behind Matthews, is going to be good, man. I think they show a lot of little sight. We talk about the Hyman re-signing, Zach Hyman re-signing last week as well. I think the Maple Leafs are going to be a very good foe in the Atlantic Division with a Montreal team. Boston is always going to be there. Tampa Bay is a matter of time and whether they get it back together like a couple of years ago, like in 2015. I don't think they're too far off as well. But the Toronto Maple Leafs, after a long stretch of years, a city in Toronto that adores hockey, they finally getting their core of guys and have the leadership of Mike Babcock, head coach, really working with these young players. And now they're getting these veterans to come that is becoming an attraction in Toronto, Ontario, to play hockey, man. The good teams right now, man. Toronto in that lower east part of Canada, and Toronto, Ottawa, and Montreal as well. Thought the Maple Leafs had an excellent offseason as well with the free agents and where they did as far as drafting, rebuilding around Austin Matthews, man. They should be a more exciting team to watch. Going into the 2017-18 season as well. It should be really fun to watch. So my only thing left, and I'll let this go on the Rink podcast this evening on the Bleed Blue Show, what is the NHL going to do as far as popularity? If you see or watch the video with myself and Knickerbocker Avenue talking about a lot of the NBA, and we mentioned on our video show or video episode of the NBA being an all-year-round league, is there a way the NHL, and I'm just throwing that question out in the air, is there a way the NHL can really make something happen with that? Is it just going to be a sport from October to May, early June, and then nothing in between unless you have like World Cup classics and Winter Olympics in between the breaks? Like, is there a way to get some more exposure to the sport where a lot of people probably are interested, but number one, it's kind of hard to find the games depending on what channel it happens to be on. But also, when it comes to the NHL, they're going to keep it going in the summer because, of course, hockey is more so a winter sport, but they're more moved into a lot of these warmer environments. Like 20 years ago, we went out west to San Jose and Arizona from Winnipeg. And then even years before that, when the Kings went to L.A. to really start that trend of hockey in warmer environments. You got the teams down in Florida with Tampa Bay in Florida. So you can't say that the hockey is just a winter sport where you're playing in these very warm, hot places. And most recently, the Vegas Golden Knights, an expansion team. So I would love to see the NBA or the NHL be like more so all year round. It's an arena sport. People get to go see it. Maybe do more leagues with the younger players. I know there's a lot of guys in the minors that are trying to make the cut, trying to get onto the main roster. If you're from the Hartford Wolfpack, trying to get to Madison Square Garden, or if you're like a Sound Tiger in Bridgeport, trying to get on the Islanders, you have these affiliates with these younger players. Because they make this, is there a way to make this thing go all year round? I would like to see that. I think that would be the next step for the NHL to really take a big step, unless they want to be a sport where it's all about October through end of May, early June. I would like to definitely see it grow in that aspect, kind of sort of like the NBA. And I think that's the way. I think until they do things like that, it's going to always be a fourth sport in North American sports. And it's very competitive when it gets to the playoffs. We say that over and over again. The playoffs in the NHL was definitely the more exciting of the sports. But I got to see – I would like to see more marketing towards more year-round play. And it should be fun. It definitely should be fun. I thought they did a good job with the NHL awards, the expansion draft during the awards, and then you had the draft on Friday. For the 1 week scene, the NHL was very buzzing. It was very, very hot. And then now it's kind of like a dump. You know, it's just kind of slowed down all of a sudden. And so it picks up probably in late August, early September when preseason rolls around and camp. So we shall see, man. We definitely shall see. I don't know, man. I definitely like to see. So I'm all happy for that, man. All happy for the moves that Gordon has made. Elias Anderson, Chatel as well for the Rangers. A lot of Rangers fans has been optimistic for the most part, and I think they see the writing on the wall with what we did with the Defenseman, but you just still got to piece it together. You still got to see how this thing is going to play out, and we're still not done shaping up this roster. So a lot of things that could definitely happen, man. Absolutely, man. Absolutely. So about to be out of time here on the Bleed Blue Show. Sangre Azul, Ring Podcast, Transformation. What is this team to become? Is it going to be more with the youth? Is it going to be more youth-driven? Is going to add a little bit of veterans into this? What they already done, the veteran defenseman with the young skater, like Brady Shea back there. What are you going to do with other wing players, centers, to add on to this team? So much to mention, man. It's been a great summer thus far, talking Rink Podcast with Ranger Proud here on the Bleed Blue Show. Follow Ranger Proud on Facebook, Twitter, Ranger.Proud on Instagram, iTunes Podcast for public tuning in your Stitcher apps. And let me say this, man, with these episodes, man, we put a lot of fun and some hard work talking sports, the Rangers, the Knicks, Giants, Yankees, the video shows, going across the country, rocking with the four teams. And one of my favorite games last year, absolutely, was the game in Nashville, being at that game, that environment when the Rangers went in there and won the shootout. That was very fun, very intense game. Got to see the way the crowd treated the VC. I said that multiple times. But the whole point of bringing all this stuff up, and if you're a Rangers fan as well, or you're a Rangers fan who's never been to a game, definitely try to get you to a game. If you can't afford Madison Square Garden, because we already know the prices is highest in the league, or probably top two, you can always catch them in Jersey and Philly and Brooklyn, Boston. You have your options of going around that tri-state area and catching the Rangers on for a cheaper dime. It's a sport where it's intense. Every shift counts. It's chemistry, knowing where everybody's going to be, heads up hockey, shifting, momentum. It has a lot of juice as far as bringing a lot of that energy of shift by shift versus the top hockey players in the world in the NHL. Definitely one of the best sports. I say the top two sports in the world. Live, watching it live is definitely boxing in the NHL. I don't think there's no two better sports because of the nonstop action in the sports. So baseball is kind of, you got to wait for the pitch, you got to wait for the hit. In the NFL, you hike the ball, you hit, you know, you run or pass, you not get knocked down, and you got to go back and reset and get in the huddle. And the NBA is pretty good. NBA is pretty good, but it's not as fast and fluid and with less stoppages than the NHL. But BleedBlueShow.com, check out the website, the schedule of this week and upcoming weeks on BleedBlueShow.com/schedule, videos on there, as well as the podcast. Well, Sangre de Azul, talking blue shirts, hockey on the Ring Podcast, Transformation episode, Bleed Blue.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
Bleep bloop, 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 bleep bloop.